Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thank you very much, David. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show, and I'm in the studio. Whoa, did we have fun last week? I would like to say that we missed you, Lance, but we had a really good time anyway.
So. Yeah, y'all didn't miss me. Y'all had too much fun.
But as they say, they all asked for you. So
that was an amazing setup, too. I was so happy to see the number of people.
Big crowd, I mean, lots of vendors, full house. This, of course, we were talking about in Tupelo at the farmer's market at the depot, the new depot downtown.
It's beautiful.
The whole area is just bustling, and it was particularly fun to be there for the opening. They've been messing with it. Everybody knows it's there, but this was the official thing, and it was really fun. It was so many nice people. The mayor was lovely.
Well, the mayor,
everybody's so sweet.
I had to get the clip of the mayor saying, "Hey, we listen to the people." You know, and
sorry about that, mayor.
Genius,
but
politics.
It's going everywhere.
He knows what he's doing, and really the folks there in Tupelo. Yeah, you know, I've worked over there for years and loved the people, loved the town. It's such a beautiful little part of Mississippi that kind of gets tucked away if you live in the south or the central part. But if you hadn't been to Tupelo, it's kind of like Meridian. You know, go see it. It's a beautiful place.
It would only be considered an unusual place in other parts of the world. In Mississippi, it's just classic.
Oh,
it's
just
good
great.
People, good food, fun times, and some really, really smart maneuvering towards the 21st century as we wander through this, you know, maze of life here. I'm in the downsizing process. They're growing like crazy. So it was really fun to be able to talk to people about their farms and their environments, things that they're doing. That was really a blast. And it's also nice to be able to not work that hard myself.
Well, the bee guy, I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, the bee guy was so awesome. It was like our first guest, maybe, and he jumped in.
So much work. Velma's bee.
Velma,
that's
it, yes. Mm-hmm. There's a bee outfit on our deer camp. It's not ours. It's somebody that comes in and leases a little land from one of the farmers. And they probably have 200 or 300 hives now, and I've watched it grow over the years.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is. And they've gone from where they'd come out in just like the little white jacket and pants and a, you know, kind of okay non-professional hat to 10 or 12 years later, they've got the trucks, beautiful trucks. They've got the professional beekeeping attire and everything, the smokers.
Well,
and
that's really how you grow a business.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch.
You start with what you have to have.
That's right.
And then after you've been stung about 100 times, you go, well, let me see if I can get a better hat. Let me see if I can get a little bit more cover. And also, frankly, you develop your techniques.
I've watched it. It's been really fun to watch and see them grow and go from some little flatbed trucks and a couple guys out there doing it to they're very professional, and the product is excellent. And it's one of those fun things. And then you get to hear the bees when they're there. Yeah. Oh, golly. It's like a helicopter. And you turn the side-by-side off and just listen to them buzz. And they'd be 150 yards away.
Oh, sure, but there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. It's something.
Well, the wall buzzed in a house that I had once.
Yes, I had one of those.
And when the beekeepers came, these two wonderful women came to take the bees, they were done up in the white and had the whole hoods and all the things. And they, very, very much like we were talking about last week, that when you find the queen, everybody else comes along.
I found that so interesting,
and it would be amazing to have that much power.
I had probably 2,000 or 3,000 did it in a house that I'd purchased. It had been vacant on and off because the person was a writer and she had lived in Kentucky. And I ended up buying the house from her after she had not been in it much over the last 7 or 8 months. So once the queen decided This mm-hmm. was a great place. Yeah. She got in between some rafters in the mm-hmm. open air garage that was kind of a unique home. It was a three story,
good
but
space.
Real. It was perfect. It was low and quiet and protected from the elements. And I remember going down there one morning and all of a sudden it was just this hum.
Yeah.
And it got bigger and bigger and bigger.
It does.
And I finally got a beekeeper to come out there, and he said, "Oh my goodness, this is a hive.
You have guests."
Yeah, he goes, "Man, you've probably got 2,000 to 3,000 that are servicing this area."
The beekeepers took several boards off the outside. It was a cypress house. They took the boards off the outside and laid out their basically what turns out to be the red carpet, except it's white. Mm-hmm. And they bring the queen out, put her into the new hive on the other side of this carpet, and everybody stands at attention, forms lines, and funnels all of the rest of the bees in. And I had seen such a thing in photographs, maybe in National Geographic or something, but to see it in person was life-changing. Gives you a sense of symmetry, gives you a sense of the order of the universe, right, and all sorts of other things, plus how hard they work.
Well, see, and I, growing up in the Star Wars era, as I did, it would
well,
remind me of
that.
It would remind
a lot
me of the
that.
First scene when you see the bum bum
there's
bum
a lot of that.
Bum,
yes,
bum,
yes,
bum, and everybody's in unison, and it's
you know
just
that
perfection.
George Lucas watched that one.
You know,
time
he watched the bees to get that order. Yeah,
maybe we have Richard Attenborough to thank or his father or somebody.
His birthday was recently, his celebrated birthday. I'm not sure. Sometimes those folks there, they have 8 birthdays. This week I've seen the same 8.
I'm afraid that's true.
There's so many that like say, "Yeah, I was born on this day," and that was their alter ego birthday, I guess.
Well, Brian from Tupelo is weighing in this morning to say that how much he appreciated us being there and coming to see us. His daughter purchased a tote bag and a bracelet. Thank you very much. And we really enjoyed it. Yes, Garden Mama merch is happening.
Yes.
Garden Mama merch is we have wanted to do this for a very long time, and my life is a pretty large plate, but if you do downsize one thing, you can pick up something else that you've wanted to do without staying awake for 24 hours in a row. I just did that. Well, anyway, that's a different story. But the question is always, what do you do? How do you shift? How do you change things? And I know people that don't ever want anything to change. I know people that paint the shutters on the house the same color that their mother painted it, that their grandmother painted it, that Aunt Maisie painted it. And if you like that, that's great. But if, like me, I kind of think friendship bracelets are cute. I never would have before, but here I am wearing them.
I love them.
You have to go through a few shifts and whatnot. Now, I will tell you, my daughter is the same age as Ms. Swift, who is, of course, the person that people made friendship bracelets for ages, but she's the one who promoted the parties and having, all of her friends and fans do that. And as my daughter says, good thing she caught on, because they were all doing it before, but it's easier to get people like me to wear them now because they're better.
My niece.
They're higher quality.
My niece has made me one, and I wore it until it absolutely fell off recently, and then a friend of mine's daughter at Deer Camp made me one, and I wore it till it fell apart.
Yep,
they do fall apart eventually, and it's kind of heartbreaking because you're hoping that doesn't signify the end of a friendship.
No,
it's like
when
a friend gives you a knife for a gift, you're like, hold on now, is this cutting us out of the friendship? But I love the little friendship bracelets, and they're so diverse now. When I was a kid, you just had the little weave one. They
right,
would just make
exactly.
the little weave one, but
exactly.
now there's all kinds of stuff going
we
on.
We have letters and names.
I got asked, what did I want? I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you just make me like Old Miss colors?
There you go.
Powder blue, red, and there, she was like, okay, I got it.
Today is Bermuda Day, and somebody literally sent me an email last week with all of the ways you can get to Bermuda. This was before they knew it was going to be Bermuda Day, and the question in the subject line was, are you ready? Which way do you want to go? And I thought, this is an invitation. Wait a minute. Let me read this a little more carefully, And then suddenly this week it's, in fact, Bermuda Day. Not Bermuda Shorts Day, y'all. Give that up.
The
actual physical country, yes. I found out something, though. Did you know? You probably know these things. I don't know these things. I don't sail, so I don't really.
I'm not a sailor.
The waters between here and Bermuda, which seem to be so close by and all that, are actually choppier than when you get between the Caribbean islands, because we have much more of the Atlantic effect coming. So in hurricane season, that's where you are more likely to find the ships moving away from mm-hmm. than moving to. Isn't that interesting?
I would love to visit Bermuda. It looks like, I have friends that worked in the financial world that were in Miami. Mm-hmm. Bermuda's a little hop, skip, and jump over there. They go over there all the time.
Excuse me, as Cuba should be.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I want to go to Cuba.
Anyway. I've always wanted to go to Cuba. When I lived in Mexico, the family said, oh, not very easy for American to get there, but you can go with Mexicans.
Yeah,
and I said,
oh,
okay, and I thought about it, really. But, I mean, at that time, I wasn't as adventurous.
There's a lot going
as I am now. But, yeah, I would love to visit Cuba for historical reasons.
I have had people in my life that served in the Navy who went to Cuba from when America was still having relationships there. And, of course, the music and one thing and another are all things.
I love the music.
I really feel like they've had, the top put on top of them for too long. They need to be able to be Cuban, which is a magnificent thing.
The rest of the Caribbean
we should be able to go there. Exactly.
Yeah, the rest of the Caribbean's like that.
So that's the politics for today. You can disagree with me, but it won't do you any good because none of us can do anything about it.
Yeah, we're not talking about political systems. We're talking about vacations.
We just want to go to vacation.
We're talking about vacations.
Now, there are more horticulture opportunities in some levels there than there were earlier in my life, but it's still not anything. They're not that interested in me.
The far right side of the island on the Atlantic side, up in that's the best area for the tobacco because you get the eastern breeze. That's why it's so salty.
That's what they tell us.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I've smoked enough of those cigars. I helped some guys with a cigar company years ago, and every now and again, we would come across a true Cuban cigar like that, and it would be from the region.
I have never indulged.
Man. They're so different. They're very salty, and it's because of the conditions.
It's where they grow.
Right?
Yeah. Alvin in Brandon, good question. I wish I could answer it, but I actually can't. Can you explain how to interpret the results of a soil test? My garden is yellow. Could it be all the rain? Okay. This is an interesting, problem to have and also an interesting way to look at the solution. When you get a soil test done, you fill out a form that you tell them what it is you're growing, and then that's how they tailor their results to tell you what to do. But yes, sometimes it can be confusing, and sometimes you do have to get back in touch with them to get more specific information about, for example, if you can go to your garden center, if it tells you to put so many pounds per acre of lime, they'll help you reduce that to however big your space is. But sometimes there are other issues about which particular element for something that you're growing. If you're growing asparagus, for instance, you may need to do some different things. If you're growing pecans, you may need zinc. So anyway, there's particular issues with that you grow that should be included in the results that they provide to you. Now, if you say your garden is yellow, well, the rain can certainly wash away when we have had wet weather, relatively speaking, in Brandon and other parts of central Mississippi, other places too. The whole southeast really is wetter than usual. But we have the other issue, of course, of what is in that garden. So if you have put out fresh mulch, for example, if you had a tree cut down and you ground it up and you use that for the mulch, or if you used oak leaves that just fell off the tree and piled them up 4 or 5 inches deep around things or worked that all into the top part, you are actually setting up an active compost heap. You're setting up natural rot. If that tree stump grindings, those sawdust grindings, that gin moat that hasn't composted, that chicken manure that hasn't composted, any of those things, if they've not had a chance to go through their natural rot, they're going to rot in the place that you have put them, and they will, yes, take the nitrogen right out of the plants that you have there. So if you've done that, you're going to have to just do something different. You have to start over again. However, if it's just that you fertilized, in particular if you used a soluble one that you mix in with water and then it rained a whole bunch, yeah, sure, plants will turn yellow. I've got one right now, in fact, that's a little bit yellower than it should be because I know it's in a container, the roots are crowded, and when I fertilized it, it rained immediately afterwards. So I think all that fertilizer probably ran right on out. So that's something to think about. If you have the opportunity to think about what else you're going to do going forward, we all have lots of tasks we need to keep up with. And of course, fertilizing those vegetables is one of them. But the question remains, let's see who else is there. I hope that I can't tell you whether the soil test can address this. If you've done anything different, Alvin, I don't think you would. You're a pretty experienced gardener. But if any of those things apply or seem to make any sense to you, we can certainly talk about it. And on the other hand, if you believe it is just the rain because everything else is logical, then yeah, you just fertilize some more. Paula from Dentville, good morning. Let's see. James is in Pearl, and he would like to get rid of clover and St. Augustine grass. Well, the clover is already at the point of pretty much dying back at this time of year. So you the time to treat it is usually when it's coming up and just beginning to get going. But I would suggest, because it is St. Augustine, which is a little bit different in the way that it takes chemicals, go to your garden center and read the label to find out when the product you intend to use, because there are several things that are specifically to do in clover. You know, I'm always going to tell you, please leave a little bit, because the pollinators need the nectar that's in that clover. But yeah, if it's taking over your lawn, you will need to treat the lawn for it, and you will need to get it out of there. So give yourself a chance to read that label, though, because most of the products that I'm familiar with don't work as well when the plant is in the dying down part as opposed to in the active growing part. Okay, so I don't want you to waste your time. Give yourself a chance to look for another option. Look how pretty. I just love hydrangeas. That's gorgeous. Really, really pretty. Really, really lovely, lovely, lovely. Can't complain at all. This is still the beautiful gardenia. And yes, another couple of daylilies and whatnot. But the hydrangeas that are blooming pink and blue, I'm tracking them down to get to a name, but they have been released a couple of times in two or three different places. And I'm thinking that it's mostly a proven winter's thing, but we'll figure that out. Well, hello, Bubba. That is beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Thank you very much. I hope you have a Memorial Day that will be memorable, as they say, and that we get the opportunity to thank people who, of course, did serve and lost their lives in our service. And that is something that we really do need to emphasize at this time of year. Memorial Day is the reason we get a chance to barbecue and cook out, is because the soldiers who have lived and then passed away in their service to us did their work. Well, there's so much to talk about today. I've got a bunch of things going on. T-shirts, Sarah, we get all this going on. And the website's almost open, but I can send you to where the link is. So I will do that while we were here. A few things that you're going to check out on supertalk.tv today include, frankly, something called that someone else calls cauliflower. What kind of food art are you doing at your house this week? We'll be right back.
Hey, homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
I think we're going to have to cook. I don't think we can go out and get this. Today there are three different bits and pieces of food that we would really like to eat that today is their day, but I've never seen them all together. Today is asparagus day. Come on now. What can beat that? Well, a lot of people feel like escargot can. I've only had that once. It was fine. I didn't want it again, but it was okay. But today is Italian beef day. And my question is, do you know what Italian beef is, Lance? The Chicago treat?
I'm not really sure here.
It is really good. Somebody will hand it to you and you go, what am I eating? Really thinly sliced beef.
Okay.
But it's cooked with pepperoncini peppers. So in other words, it's spicy but not hot.
Yeah.
And a lot of garlic.
Well, see, I love all the Italian meats.
Well, how you turn any kind of
they
thin
came up
steak
with bologna. So I mean,
come on now, mortadella gave birth to bologna. There he goes down that route again. But anyway, this is the really best day in the world to think about those kind of things. But I don't think you can put asparagus on there, and I don't think you can eat that with escargot either. Now, people that organize these things could care less. There is, in fact, an Italian beef festival in Chicago. I don't know if it's today, but they do have a celebration basically where you can argue and have contests for whose is the best. To me, that would be one of the hardest things to judge, because after one bite with pepperoncini and garlic in it, how can you taste anything else? The next one would have to be that much stronger, you know?
Sounds delicious. I went off on a limb last night when I ordered, got a pizza, and then I saw this advertisement, as English would say, for it's like a open-faced muffaletta almost, which is... It has the olive spread, the cheese, and the bread, but it was sliced into cheese sticks. But it was, so I was like, you know, I'm going to try that. Man, that was on. I'm a muffaletta fan, but now you've given me an open-faced option.
I can carry it around.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They called it like olive bread or olive loaf bread or olive spread bread. And I said, you know, I'm going to try that. I'm going to splurge. It was worth the
You felt
the
like
risk.
You needed a little more salt yesterday.
Yeah, I had some, yeah. My ankles weren't too swollen this morning when I got out of bed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's nothing really that competes with an olive spread.
Man.
I mean, you can
taste
that. You know.
That's your neck of the woods, though.
Sure.
I like it finely. I like it really finely chopped. You know, spready, tapenade, not the chunky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm going to eat it either way. But the tapenade style is my favorite.
If I can spread it onto the bread, though, I'll probably eat more of it.
Yes. So. Well, that makes Melba toast have a taste.
I guess it
could. Yeah, that's the whole point of Melba toast, I think, is
It does have to be strong enough to hold something wet on top of it. That is true.
It has a purpose.
There's a whole world of things to try to figure out how to eat something that you just carry around like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy skill. Not an easy skill. Janice from New Albany says that she absolutely loves Italian beef, especially Portillo's in Chicago. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I love learning.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Come here on a Saturday and just learn.
Well, me too. That's
so Italian beef. I didn't know there was an actual name for something like
that. Well, and of course, people will turn around and put all sorts of other things on it. They'll put red peppers, and some people will put, but the Italian beef itself is cooked, frankly, so that you want to eat it and you want to eat more of it, because that's when you have spicy peppers. There's a whole bunch of research about this. Really spicy peppers can help you slow down the amount that you eat because it's real spicy, and so you're not overeating, and that's one of those things that's supposed to be good for you to not overeat. Italian beef operates on the other principle.
They're going to stuff you.
If it's good enough, you'll keep eating it, so I know that we have many people who agree with that in our world. That's so pretty. Magnolias smell so fragrant. They planted 50 of these 12 years ago. People said that I would regret it. Not so far. That is so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, just lovely. Just lovely. I did not get solar panel information, by the way, so thank you. That's a beautiful magnolia. The part of the downsizing at my place is involving some things happening, like a truck knocked a magnolia bloom off, so we floated it in my water collector, and it looks so pretty. Last night, I drove in the driveway, and it was like, oh, that's really sweet. I should have done that before. So now I'll cut another one and float it in there. That's pretty. this is interesting. Okay. Well, if you don't use email, I'm going to have a hard time getting to you. But I appreciate you, and I'll try and figure out how to get this information to you, Sarah. I don't consider email to be social media. She says
that's just mail.
Well, yeah, she says she doesn't use social media.
Yeah, I'm not a big social media.
I think what she's saying
either.
Is that she doesn't use a computer.
Right.
But she's texting me from her phone.
We can figure this out. Somehow.
We'll figure it out. I'm a little limited in my tech savviness, you know. I'm always happy to go to the next thing, but I may not know how to link it to the first thing. That's the other thing. When you go through all the stuff that you own, do you know how many cords everybody owns?
Where's Tesla when you need him, huh?
Why didn't we go with Edison? Why didn't we go with this wireless business from the beginning? I know there are people who collect them and make sculptures. I even think that's a little tacky, but there are everywhere.
Yeah.
There's everywhere. I have a box full.
Oh. You can tie them all together and get to Mars with all the cords.
Seriously,
have on this planet.
Go somewhere. Come on now.
A zip line to Mars based from all the HDMI cords and.
I think we could.
USB this and that and.
Oh my goodness, that's so pretty. Turtles. I love a turtle.
I've seen two or three lately, and I'm like, buddy, you better hustle it up.
Yeah.
There was one yesterday. Oh, he was just getting to the gutter on one of the roads I was on. Yeah, he made it. But I was like, this
friend
guy
of ours
was
had to make
bold.
A U-turn.
Yeah.
Go rescue one.
I don't know what's going on, but the wildlife, they're really moving around. It must have been the moon or the conditions, but I've seen so many possums. I thought possums were smart.
I'm going to try and make this be real, real sweet and kind, because thankfully we have a very wide-ranging age range in our audience, mm-hmm. and people on both ends of the spectrum may find this a little bit dicey. But at this time of the year, my dear, everybody's looking for a date.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a turtle or a flower or a honeybee or a goose or whatever it is, you know, everybody's, that's just
their
what
mind's
they're
not
all
working
moving.
Right
no, out. They're all moving.
They're not thinking. Because I've seen the geese, the possums, everything has just been a little
goes.
Bit more, taking a few more chances.
Then that's what has to happen. No risk, no reward,
right.
You know.
I guess as we continue to develop, we're encroaching in their world. And
I just keep going back to Bubba's Rattlesnake Ridge.
I love it. He sent one earlier in the week. I think it was
so
Monday.
Pretty.
Beautiful sunrise. And then he throws us another one today. Bubba, you got it.
Living right.
Living right up here in Rattlesnake Ridge, man. We had somebody that chimed in and said, well, if it's the Rattlesnake Ridge, I know it is sure beautiful.
Well, this one is. Joe in Madison has a couple of questions. Why do my tomato blooms fall off? That's because they didn't get pollinated. Mm. And sometimes that's just what they do. I know that Joe knows that we go out and rattle the cage a little bit. You know, we shake the pole or the tomato cage itself so that the pollen can fall. But when the conditions are not right, and sometimes in a condition like we've been in where it rains every third day, the pollen forms and it doesn't get to the other one and it's washed away. That does happen, and then the flowers will fall off. But they fall off when they don't make a fruit. And that's so that they can that's actually a good thing. That's so they can go on and make more flowers. I have harvested my first genuine tomato from the crazy rebel starfighter that I got. Everybody else that I gave them to has got plants and tomatoes going. I've got five or six tomatoes ready to go, but I finally got one I could pick, and it's pretty. People who like beefsteak tomatoes would not like this one because it's green and also purple and also red. But it's pretty. I like it. So that's why they fall off. Now, the other question, these are the figs that Joe has been growing in this container. I think it's time to prune them back and plant them. I really do. I think now we're ready to go. They're on the east side of the house, and they're getting plenty of morning sun. They need some fertilizer, and they need room to spread out. So I certainly would prune them a little bit to take the stress off and then give them a chance to get growing, either in a pot, each one in their own pot that's a slightly larger pot so they can stay there for a number of years, or go ahead and put them into the soil if you would like them there. Pretty plants, though. Really pretty. I really think you're on your way. One of them is doing so much better than the other. That's kind of why I say I think they need to probably get out of the pots or get into a bigger pot for the one that's not doing so well. And yes, prune it back. Okay. Toodles the tortoise. That's such a cute name. Now, let me see. Beautiful, beautiful. Jeff's tomatoes are just gorgeous. He is today preaching on the benefits of cultivation. He doesn't call it that, but that's what this actually is. Tilling the crusty soil on the top, loosening it up, especially after it's all been saturated, because that helps it to dry out just a little bit. And saw an immediate response to it. The putting some oxygen there really did help him a lot. And, of course, it will. Now, yes, you have to be careful, but this is where you need to know your soil. If your soil forms a crust, then it's not going to have a whole lot of luck getting the oxygen out or the water out, the whole thing to evaporate. That's why we break it up. And I think he's done a beautiful job because these tomatoes look great. Thank you for that, Jeff. Appreciate you. Really fun to hear from you. Let's see. I don't know about that. That must be for you. Well, that's pretty. I don't know the name of this rose, but I agree with you that it's lovely. This came from me. Oh, okay. If it came from me, it's a Caldwell pink because the flower is right for that. Your leaves are prettier than mine, though. Thank you, Corinne. It is Caldwell pink, and yes, it is a rebloomer. It will bloom over and over and over and over and over. It's one of the captures from the Texas Rose Rustlers. And if you run into this little rose, it's about 2 or 3 feet tall at the most. I don't fertilize it, so it really never gets very tall. And if you want to push it, you can get prettier, bigger leaves, and you can also get a bigger bush, but it does just fine for me as just part of the flower bed. And it's lovely. And it's Caldwell, like Caldwell. I'm trying to think of somebody famous named Caldwell, but I don't know anybody.
I had a pitching coach named Jim Caldwell. He was amazing.
Well, I used to visit Caldwell Parish, but I don't know who it was named for. It may have been his relatives. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. You know, this is something or another about pines, and I'm going to just say that this is Bobby because I don't know who sent it to us. I've noticed that there's acres of pines on Highway 16 near Vaughan that appear to be dying. They were all brown, and now they're starting to grow back. Is this a result of the drought 2 years ago, or do pines just do that? Yes, it is a result of their recovery from the drought and also the recovery from some pretty serious freezes that, depending on where you were, either came before or after that drought year. Usually, I believe what we had mostly was the terrible drought year and then a really serious freeze year. And the fact that they came back is not necessarily indicative of what kind of pines they are, but many times if they were short needle pines, short leaf pines, that the damage that they underwent would have encouraged the borers to get into them. So I would suggest that you look and see what kind of pine it is, because that's obviously the one we want to grow, because it can recover. I like that. That's not off the subject. Cherokee Purple tomatoes are always on my subject, and yes, that's how come I bought this one that I'm growing that's purple, because I just like them. I like the little black cherry tomatoes too, that are real dark. Cherokee Purple is an older variety. It's in that heirloom category that we grow them and we might get a few tomatoes the first year and we think, well, that was not so terrific. Well, if you go ahead and save seeds from those, though, you are participating in the heirloom world, because when you grow one, you save those seeds, and the next year you grow those seeds, then that's going to do better than the ones did before, because the seeds that make in your particular environment are going to be tougher and stronger and more resilient than the ones that you got from somebody else. So that's why we start with a plant or start with some seeds from somewhere, but we try to very hard always save those. Brandywine, Cherokee Purple, you know, all the ones that you really like that are considered heirloom tomatoes, you do need to save those seeds if you want to continue growing them, because they will always grow better the next year. Okay. Yeah, we got some weather coming, and we didn't even think about Tupelo honey jokes when I was talking in Tupelo about honey. They just became too obvious. But we'll let Van sing us away from here, and we'll be right back with your texts, your phone calls, and some more of the Garden Mama Show.
Thank you. from the seed, and the soil grows row after row. We take care of this land, using just the right amount of our natural resources and never more than we need.
We are only one of thousands, but we are united as one to grow the food, fiber, and shelter you need every day. Because Mississippi needs us. Mississippi needs farmers, the farm families of Mississippi.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Those magnolias are magnificent.
Aren't they? Goodness, it's like Dickie Betts playing a guitar. How awesome that is. I just saw those. I was blown away.
Go into, you know, meditative state here. That's just absolutely
And then you
beautiful.
Got this beautiful field that so must come gorgeous. Up next to it. Yeah, what a great gorgeous. Tree line. And that's amazing setup because you keep the wind and the soil and all the different things that erode
the
fields.
Beautiful,
and yeah, I mean, you get the great tree line there to protect
just
it.
Beautiful.
And I'm sure it smells amazing once the blooms start popping.
Don't you know?
Goodness.
That's really cool. Very lovely, lovely.
I'm trying to get all those
I'm
over.
I'm not sure who all these people are, but you have a lot of conversations going on here that I don't know anything about. I'm just going to move right along. All right. Kathy's in Zone H. She wants to fertilize young pomegranate trees. This is so smart. I want to talk to you about fertilizing plants now and what to fertilize and kind of what not to fertilize too, because some of that's very important. For example, if your tomatoes have just put on their very first tomato, don't put fertilizer on them today. Let that go ahead and get that process get going on so that they're in the ripening process. You don't want to knock them off by putting on too much nitrogen at this particular point in time. But when they're about half to three quarters of the way, the plant's going to need some more fertilizer. So yes, you do fertilize again at that point. I do want you to know, though, when it comes to things like pomegranates, especially young trees, young shrubs, this is a brilliant time to fertilize them because you're trying to get them to really take advantage of the second half of the year's growth time. Probably you fertilized when you planted it. Maybe you fertilized it at the beginning of the winter this year or something, or in the winter sometime. Maybe you pruned it a little bit. Maybe you didn't. But what you're trying to do at this point is try to push some new growth. So go ahead and do that. Do use a fertilizer that is low nitrogen, fairly decent levels of phosphorus and potassium, and then all of the trace elements. That's going to be called a complete fertilizer, and it'll probably be labeled for fruit trees. I think that's real important to know. Same is true of flowering shrubs. Many times you can use the same product on flowering shrubs that you're trying to encourage as you would use on fruit trees, because you want to encourage a little bit of nitrogen, some good strong leaves, but you're really trying to promote roots and shoots and all of the other sideways elements. As well, they're not sideways elements, but they're the ones we only need a little bit of, the minor elements, the trace elements, the things that finish forming out that whole fertilizer component. I think it's important too to realize that if you have finished the perennials have finished blooming and you don't need to do anything to them, like dig them up or divide them or anything, this is a good time to fertilize them too. So give yourself a chance to do those things. And yes, if you're trying to encourage them, now's the time to fertilize. For example, you may get annuals going up like flowers. Maybe you're growing some zinnias. And those maybe, you know, they come up, they look good. You thin them, they've got good stands next to them. You don't fertilize zinnias very, very much. But if you're coming in right next to them the next week and seeding again, that second group is always going to need a little bit of fertilizer because you will have used up so much of it with the first bunch. that's one of the notes about fertilizer, is that you have to know when it's going to get used and how the plants are going to take care of themselves to put it to work. And I think that's really what we're all about around here. There are many, many times when we have a chance to talk about fertilizer, and many times when we talk about what the different products are. But when it comes down to it, you got to know nitrogen is leaves, phosphorus and potassium are shoots and fruits, roots as well, but they're not going to be as effective alone as they will be together with trace elements. Okay? That's what I think. That's what I think. I have no idea what Wes is trying to tell you, but it looks good. I love y'all's conversations. Oh, that's cute. That's the picture of the new SuperTalk app. That's lovely. I had not seen that, Paula from Dentville. Thank you for showing that to me. It is cute. Oh, that's nice. Really pretty flowers. Daylilies, daylilies, daylilies.
Aren't they amazing? The colors are just
And that brings
exploding.
Me to tell you, da-da-da-da-da, the 28th annual Daylily Show will be next Saturday, May the 31st, at the Hattiesburg Train Depot in Hattiesburg. Great place, great plants, brilliant people, and one of the strongest production areas for daylilies that you will find for new breeding and really just taking those crosses and seeing what they're going to turn into. They just do everything down there. The admission is free. Go to HattiesburgDaylily.com for more information. It is open to the public from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. If the plant sale begins at noon. So if you want to go buy some, show up at noon. And if you want to just go tour around, you can go all the way through till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're so smart. I grow Suburban Nancy Gale. I grow one called Lemon Drop. They're 4 or 5 that I really, really like, and Hattiesburg Daylily Society has the whole thing covered. They're so brilliant. Y'all go see them. They're going to be, again, next Saturday, the Hattiesburg Train Depot in Hattiesburg. I like saying that name, Hattiesburg. But yours are absolutely beautiful. I don't know who this is, but we're just gonna say it's Phoebe, and that's Phoebe has lovely daylilies. I like the ones that kind of have an eye. You know, they have different colors in the petals, but I also like the ones that are just bright, bright colors. They're really pretty. You got some really crazy photos over there today at SuperTalk.tv.
Give
yourself an opportunity to stroll through our image library today. There's some cool things.
I've seen some colors I haven't seen in years doing this.
There's also some bottle trees. I'll let you know that. Beginning next week, and then the next week, the Bottle Tree Tour is coming up on the 14th of June in Fondren.
We're back at the Bottle Tree Tour again. Yeah.
And so we'll be talking to those folks in the next couple of weeks, too. Well, there's so much going on. There's always a lot going on. And I'm very, very fond. I think that this is a narrow leaf zinnia. It's pretty. If it isn't, it's a pretty plant anyway. But that's another good one to consider for your flower beds is a narrow leaf zinnia. It will bloom, it can take the heat, and it's just almost indestructible. Really, really nice. Let's see. Local honey, good, good. Yep, it really does help. Teaspoon a day, I think he says. Yeah, teaspoon to a tablespoon.
You're way more than that.
I was going to say, just depends on how he's feeling, I think. Oh, this is Chris. It could be a woman. But anyway, I also go with fall honey harvest and summer honey during the summer. You must eat a lot of honey to have both kinds. Come on now. Not sure if it makes a difference. Well, there are those who would tell you that it absolutely does. I don't have research to cite for you, but I'm glad to add your account. It's called anecdotal evidence, and oftentimes that's what we start with. That's where we begin, you know. My goodness, that New Guinea impatient is so pretty. SuperTalk.tv. The splashy flowers that they have developed that have really, they're just almost painted. You know, they have darker stripes in them and stuff. They're so pretty. New Guinea impatiens are such a controversial plant. If you don't like them, you don't ever want to see them. If you had them, you got them, you put them in too much sun, or you put them in too little sun, or you did something to them and they collapsed, and you never want to see them again. But I'm telling you, you really would like them. If they had a place with just bright light, morning sun a little bit, that's good, but bright light all day long, and they really can, they are just beautiful plants when they're in, particularly these newer varieties have just lovely, lovely, you know, so pretty. Y'all are funny. Y'all are, I don't know who this is that wants you to play games with them, but that's funny. Y'all got some people in this. Telling you, one of these days you're going to turn on, it's just going to be us reading texts that have no context.
Sometimes you have to because they're just too good. I mean, such fun listeners. So.
Y'all are great. You know, when I moved to Mississippi long years ago, I found out something very interesting. I am a writer, but everywhere I've ever been and lived, people say, well, what do you do to make money if you're a writer? In Mississippi, you say, I'm a writer, and they go, oh, here, look, I got something. They want to see a chapter? I got, you know, a book of poetry I wrote.
Hey, would you edit this for me?
Stick around. We got another hour of this for you this morning on Super Talk.
Sleep well tonight in the comfort that your family is propane safe. Rest easy knowing that you had your propane installation and repair inspected by using a professional and avoiding the hazards of improperly using gas lines. Contact your propane provider and stay safe. Visit mspropane.com for more information and safety tips. That's mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
For a flipping.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal. On Super Talk Mississippi.
I have a party game for you today. Today is scavenger hunt day.
Oh, I don't like looking for stuff. That's like my day.
I can see you don't like it.
Every day is a scavenger hunt for me. Not the most organized with my clothes and stuff. I look for everything.
It took me forever to discover that hide and seek was the way that the older siblings got me to just go away.
You send
the little ones to hide, and they are to go, you know, they send you on a scavenger hunt, or they send you to play hide and seek. It's so they can get away from you.
There was
it's
also
terrible.
If you can ever imagine, you, my sister always won. I always won the games because I would say, all right, I'm going to time you. And for some reason, that's all it took. Like, hey, I'll time you. See how fast you can make a sandwich. What? You say how fast? And she's still, I mean, very competitive person. But, I mean, at a young age, I mean, it was, okay, if you just acted like you were timing, you could just count. And it got done. I mean, you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I am convinced that there were points where my older sister played me the same way.
Yeah.
I fell for it every time, which is fine.
She's still mad at me about it sometimes. She'll say, you know, you used to time me and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry, sis. She's amazing.
Got her used to the world. Yeah. That's the way
the world
is. You know, one of the things that is so wonderful about this show is that if you looked at these texts, you would think that this was a random horticulture experience. It is. And we really like it that way. So
it's
thank
all over.
You. Yeah. Thank you for bringing us a little of everything. Look at that beautiful sky. Isn't that lovely?
There are 360 degrees. And gardening, we get to cover it on
get
Saturday.
All of it. I love it. Let me see how many of these I can rock in while they're all still flowing in here today. Really good question. Low spot in the lawn. The sod is both St. Augustine and centipede, which I'll grant you is kind of a tough combination to get to be happy together. But they filled in the space, and it's ready to plant the new sod. Is there any other tips? The only other tip that I would give you is to be sure that you are putting just a little bit of something like a new lawn food. If you're using plugs or if you're using sod, putting it underneath them, because they're going to start growing right away and they're going to need to be able to reach that fertilizer. And you're not going to want to come back out there and start dumping fertilizer all over the whole lawn, because then the other part of the lawn will grow faster than this part that you're trying to encourage. So I would just say add a little bit of new lawn to it, and that will be great. Beautiful flowers, stargazer lily, garlic flowers. Christine in Mantee, though, has a hibiscus that's got some yellowing and some black spots on the leaf. I suspect that the ground is staying a little too wet, and that you've probably got you have an attempt on the part of the hibiscus to shed off extra leaves because the soil is staying a little bit too wet. I would take off the yellowed leaves. I would more than likely, in my own head, I would want to use a fungicide on the rest of the leaves just to give them a little bit of inoculation against any more of that leaf spot that's trying to form. And then another week after that, I would fertilize. So I'd clean it, and then I'd do that. Clean it, trim it, and then fertilize it. Okay? Who have you got, sir?
We have Jesse and Raymond.
Well, good morning, Jesse. Roll. How you doing, Jesse? What's up?
Good morning. I'm fine. Listen, you've mentioned a couple of times about you're a big fan of cutting or trimming perennial sunflowers, and I got a feeling it's about time to do it.
Yeah.
I've got some that are 5 feet tall. I've got some that are 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a proportion. Cut them back by a third or half?
I'm going to take them back by a third. I'm going to do the same thing to Joe Pieweed and to Claire Curtis Mums if they have taken off. And my Claire Curtis Mums have been so wet that they've only grown a couple of inches. They're looking pretty good right now. But some of the other things, like the sunflowers and the Joe Pieweed, really are going to be over our heads with all this rain if we don't give them a little bit of a prune now. I wouldn't cut them again, but beginning of June is a great time to do that.
End of June is what you're saying?
No, the beginning.
Beginning of June.
Yeah, no later than the end, but I would do it at the beginning if you can.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thank you much. You know, one of the questions that we always have about plants is, how big is this plant going to get? And when you read about something, unless you're reading something by an author in the South who has grown the plant kind of close to where you are, add some space to it. For example, they'll tell you to give the hibiscus a little bit of a haircut. I'm going to tell you to take off the old flowers and the ruined leaves, and then do a little bit of pruning on it. When it comes to those sunflowers, though, yes, you need to take them down by about a third, because they're just going to turn around and bush out and make more sunflowers when you do that.
What do we do with the iris now that we've lost the bloom and the plant? It still looks healthy, and I've got the stem stalk. And do I
take those stalks off?
Take the flower stalks off. How far down do I go?
You can go to the ground.
Okay.
If you were trying to breed irises, you wanted to make crosses, this is where you would get to work with seed production and all that. But when we do that, it takes away from the leaves. And what we're actually trying to do is get those leaves to be pretty for the whole rest of the year and therefore nurture some flowers next year. So I know they don't stay in bloom long enough, but that's just the way it is. That's how that goes. Really interesting question from John. Wants to know if he pruned his pear tree too much because it's still got the black tips on it. I'm afraid you've got a fungus disease because it didn't go away when you cut them off the first time or even the second time. So I'm going to say take a piece of that to the garden center with you, but get a fungicide appropriate for fruit trees and spray that, because I think we're going to have so much more rain in your area that we will need to protect these plants that are likely to get that particular fungus problem. And that one's obviously in that boat. Oh, those are beautiful limelight hydrangeas. What a beautiful view from the bedroom window. That's gorgeous. Oh, and we got a translation from Wes in Ocean Springs. It hasn't rained. I think this is going to be your week. He's been out tying up tomatoes, that whole field full. Excuse me. So that's a lot. That's a lot to do. But I think it's going to rain on you this week. Pretty sure. Oh, the cereus has started blooming. That's so pretty. Thank you, Mary. That's gorgeous. And the next round of flowers is starting to grow. How lovely. That's so pretty. Franklin County, is it too late to plant canna bulbs? No, you can. They're actually tubers, but you can plant them for sure. Even calla lilies, too, if you had any. Cl- clover stays green all summer long. That is unusual. Send me a picture of it. Mama on
air. But his deer are happy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mama on air at yahoo.com. Send that to me. Okay. And is it too late to apply the drench around crepe myrtles? Excuse me. No, it is not. If you have the crepe myrtle problem, the bark problems, and you need to do that, this would be the time to do it. There's one photo up on Facebook that I had to put it up just like it showed up on Facebook because it's so funny. Those of you who have a problem, as they say, with Bradford pears are going to want to look at this. These are all edible pears that have been grafted onto the branches of a not quite taken down but very seriously pruned Bradford pear. This can be done. It's not pretty at the beginning, as you will see when you see this picture. It looks like the whole thing has been, I don't know, it looks like.
I thought it was something in Sanford and Son's junkyard there for a second, but then I started really paying attention. I'm like, what in the world is this?
It really looks like someone has been injured. I mean, some tree has been injured and you're trying to save it. But this was all intentional. And when we talk about scion wood and grafting, we're looking at a really specific form of gardening, of horticulture, that not a lot of people do. And if you want to take up something that is going to be unusual and yet in demand, it's because it always is, grafting is one of those things you might want to practice. And the other part of grafting is that it's interesting. When you begin to study it and you begin to learn how the parts of the different plants line up together so that they're able then to put their cells together and keep growing, it's another one of those pieces of the puzzle that is just, it's like seeing fireflies for the first time. You go, wow, look at that.
And what is the end game here? Like, what are we going to expect from this tree once everything gets together?
We're going to get, we will get pears we can eat
instead of the others.
Of Bradford pear things with the nasty little fruits that, you know, even the birds don't like very much. Because the pear tree is strong and it has good health, we don't need to plant a new pear tree in this case. We're taking what is basically the mature wood of the pear tree and grafting on younger scions. That's why there's a branch and then a binder, because the binder from the Bradford pear goes up and you attach it to the scion wood, the fresh wood of the one, the variety that you want, the desirable one. You can see this done with pink and white dogwood on the same tree sometimes. You can see it with three different kinds of plums on one kind of tree. But it's all because people have, when you graft, what you're doing is taking the similarities of two plants and allowing them to come together. And it doesn't happen in nature very much. Occasionally, but not very much.
That one blew my mind when I saw it.
I think that grafting is really for people who like to do like whittling and woodwork. And they like to be, but they like for people to not listen to them for very long, because once they start talking, you can't get them to stop. It's delightful and it is so much fun, but they obviously started to do this so that they could, you know, give themselves something else to do that nobody else was doing. My theory that if you became a writer, you just stayed in the attic and the checks flew in over the transom and you didn't have to talk to anybody. None of that is true. Grafters still have to go out and they have to bargain for the right scion wood. They have to find the tree they want to get it from. They have to take it at the appropriate time and sometimes pay for it. And then they have to make it work. So you got to do a whole lot of it before you ever get any good result. It's like practicing anything else.
Well, what is this voodoo? How did they come up with this stuff? How did they graft all of that? No, I'm kidding.
I think that the cauliflower and the broccoli were, I believe these were people that did not like their vegetables.
Yeah, somebody was having fun with
food.
They were
staying a little bit too long at the fair, and they were playing with the vegetables. But I got to say, who if you ever thought of broccoli as little trees, you have not thought of it as a poodle's feet.
As a poodle. It never dawned on me.
It never dawned on me.
Thank y'all in the world for your creativity.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. People are so funny. No, we don't cut the green blades, Dave. We cut the flower stalks on the irises. I understand. I do talk fast sometimes. I don't know what kind of file type this is that is not supported, but it is not for me. When is the best time to harvest blueberries? When they are very blue, but before they have lost the sort of powdery look to them that they have. You want them to be ripe. You want to take one and eat it and taste it. But if you let them go all the way to the point where they're dark, the darkest blue that they get, they're going to be hard to pick, first of all, because they're going to be so ripe. But they're also going to be very difficult to cook or use. So I pick mine as soon as they are tasty and as soon as they are formed and are ripe. But you are looking at something that is not completely lost that pretty little powdery look to the color, to the outside of it. The picture that I put forward today is the exact one that I really like. And no, you don't make it because they ripen every day. So you're out there picking different ones. But it's a really taste it first. That's probably the best thing. Thank you, Amanda. Those are beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous ferns. Who's with us?
We got Faye in West Point, and she has some questions about shallots.
Hello, Faye. Welcome on into the Garden Mama Show. What's on your mind?
Well, I need to know about shallots. I planted some this year, and they came up beautifully. And the green parts, is shallots, are they bulbs or tubulars?
They're bulbs.
Okay, alrighty. And they came up beautifully, and the green part of them is probably, 8 to 10 inches high,
mm-hmm.
because the rain has just, now they're on the ground, you know, I mean, they look like they're about 2 inches high before you even actually get to them. Can I go ahead and cut off some of that green and use that as like green, little green onions?
I do it every day.
And what's going to happen to the actual shallot?
Well,
if I cut,
it's going to keep growing. It'll keep putting out new leaves if it can. And you know, garlic is coming into harvest right now. It's beginning to bloom. We're seeing that, you know, those winter things. But shallots have a little bit different character to them, in my experience, because I grow French shallots, I grow Louisiana shallots, I grow multiplying onions, I grow, you know, walking onions. I mean, I'm just really obsessed with that whole bunch of the family. And their tastes are a little bit different, but I love the taste of shallot greens. And if the weather is not too wet, they will make a big shallot, and then it has a baby attached to it underground that you can then plant, you know, for the next round. But sometimes I find that I need to dig them up. When those leaves have fallen over and I've used some of them, they may start to grow again. Usually they do. But if they don't, those are the ones that I dig up first because I'm afraid they're going to rot. And that's simply because we have a wet patch.
When shallots come up, like little green onions, do they have, like, I'm going to make this up, 3 or 4 different green shoots from them?
Some of them do. Some of them have two.
And they're tiny. They're not like green onions.
No, they're different.
You know, they're not flat. They seem like...
Right, they're different.
And I don't know what kind of shallots I have. I like to never found any. I probably went to 20 different places trying to find some.
Were they the size of your thumb and kind of brown?
Yes.
Those are French shallots. You did good. Well, they're probably not from France, but that's the type.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I can't say that anybody brought them to us from France, but that is the type. And I love the taste of their greens. I really do.
I'm just going to try it anyway. And then, as I said, I will, when I start digging, I'll try to dig the... And they've just gotten so matted now. Maybe I have them too close together, but I just put them in an old wheelbarrow,
wheelbarrow. From my experience, that's actually the best thing to do because when they're in the ground is when they can rot. And I don't have any. Mine are all in some kind of version of a raised bed or a big pot or something. I looked in the tomatoes, and there's two different onions stuck in there. I have no idea what I planted there. So it's going to be interesting to have to taste them and see what comes up. But yeah, I think you're on the right track. So I'm glad you sought them out too because they are tasty. Thank you.
Okay, I'm a try.
Good to
Thank
hear
you.
From you. Ah, shallots. Now I'm getting hungry. Ooh, cherry tomatoes. They're so pretty. We're going to say this is the same person who has the limelights and those magnificent magnolias. Just beautiful. Just gorgeous. I'm liking the tomatoes. Well, I know that this is our momentary dance across the hall love affair with the Balfa brothers this morning. So I'm going to step aside and let Mamu take over. We'll be right back. Maria,
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Family term.
Put the camera on himself.
I just need some spoons and a washboard.
That's right. That's all.
And an accordion and a harmonica all hooked up to me.
A really fancy hat. We'd be okay.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, the Garden Mama Show. We have a really good time. We're so happy that y'all do. I'm going to say this because I can't say it at the beginning or I'll begin to cry. It's so sweet. Y'all were so sweet last week. Y'all, Tupelo, I love you so much. People came and said things to me that, you know, were too sweet, too kind, too nice, and I believe every one of them. I would like to think that I'm really that terrific. Clearly I'm not, but it's wonderful that you feel that way, particularly about the program and particularly about the place it holds in your week's rotation of life. That, to me, is the biggest and most important thing. If you can count on me, you can count on yourself. And in that, that's what someone said to me, and I really felt like that was a brilliant, beautiful thing to say. If you turn on the radio, we're talking about plants. We're talking about what you're doing right, what we're doing wrong, you know, how all these things work. We're in better shape than we were. So I appreciate you very, very much. Who's on the phone, Lance?
We have Mabel on the phone.
Oh, good.
And
hey,
she
Mabel.
Was patient through the break for us.
Thank you, Mabel. Good morning. What's up?
First, good morning. I haven't seen it yet. my okra. I want to know, can you plant some more? I've planted it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It come up, but it died away. I don't know.
You absolutely can. You definitely can plant it again. You can plant okra as late as August and still get okra. But I have a feeling it's just been too much rain. And we're still in a rainy patch, but, you know, I would go ahead and plant some more. Just try it again. It can be difficult because it doesn't like super wet weather, but it doesn't like cool weather either. So the hotter the better for okra.
Yeah. Would you put it in try it in the ground and I try it in a pot?
I would probably do both again.
I
would do both again because it really depends. If it rains a whole lot, the one in the pot's going to do better. If it turns off dry, you're going to be more likely to get the ones in the ground to sprout.
Do I need a real large pot, or how many I could put in a pot?
In about a 1 gallon pot, I'd put 4 or 5 and see how many come up, and then thin them down to 2. But if you're going to put them in the ground, put about 5 or 6 seed 2 or 3 inches apart. See what comes up.
And you can't bat no plant. You can,
but I'll tell you the truth. A lot of times, this time of year, the plants are pretty big, and they kind of tend to kind of fall over when you plant them. So if you find some okra plants that look good, sure, you can absolutely grow them from plants. But this time of year, sometimes it's hard to find. Yeah, it's hard to find this time of year.
Well, do you let the seed come up in some water? What my dad used to do. He would put a little water on them. And
yeah, we soaked ours for a couple of hours in warm water before we planted them because they would come up a little quicker.
Okay. Now, my tomatoes, all got tomatoes and squash on them. Do I fertilize them again?
Do they have fruit on them? Are you making tomatoes?
Yeah, they got tomatoes on them in there now.
Just wait until those are about half ripe, and then fertilize the plants.
Oh.
Okay.
And you put dry fertilizer?
Either one, as long as you're working it around the base of the plant. The dry fertilizers, the granular types, will last longer than the ones that you mix in water and put on. So it's kind of how you want to do, you know.
Yeah, I just worry about my okra. This was in my blueberries. And that's just question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
My blueberries got lots of blueberries on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not ripening so well.
We're just coming to June. We're going to have a big crop. I've got 15 in a little bunch right now, I got one that's ripe. And that was yesterday that it ripened. So they're just starting. But they're going to get there, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay?
No. Okay.
Keep at it. Thank you, ma'am. It's good to hear from you. Thank you. You're on the horn over there. I can see, Lance. You know, sometimes y'all surprise us when you do everything all at one time. I'm going to tell you that the good tip from one of our callers, the jalapeno plants, this has got to be some kind of interesting critter. Ate every leaf off of the jalapeno plants.
Yeah, he's got a taste for spice.
I'm telling you. So he covered up the plants with chicken wire. Will they come back? Pinch the tip of the plant, put on some fertilizer, and if they can come back again, they will. You might want to buy a couple more plants.
Well, Mike is on, and he has a fun little story. He loves getting out and about and doing things. So, Mike, you're on now. Tell the garden mama what you've been up to.
Oh, yeah. Well, Miss Nellie,
yes,
I guess
sir.
You do know I'm a yard sale freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I went by one of a thrift stores up here, and I saw a certain book by a certain author. The author was Nellie Neal, I believe was what her name was.
Could have been.
And I thought that'd be you.
Yep, could be. Now, I will tell you that I've had other names in my life, so it might have had another name. Well, I pretty much write the same.
Yeah, it's a garden book, and I said I want to get that thing signed, get it all autographed, and take it back to the store and let them see that thing's signed to me.
Well, good.
Oh yeah. So. By the way, I haven't taught them how to jump rope yet, but I'm training my morning glories with my tomatoes again.
I don't doubt it.
And. And as fun as can be, and I got all those crazy onions. I can't get my onions to grow bigger than a quarter. But other than that, I'm doing something wrong. Never could grow them. But I thought I'd tell you
I
about
love that.
That.
I'm so glad. That's wonderful.
Not yard sale, but the thrift store.
Thank you. I'm so happy to know that. I appreciate hearing from you. Now, we're all trying to
long time no hear.
Take care of yourself. We're all trying to get Mike to take those Morning Glory photographs and turn them into a calendar of Morning Glory.
Yes.
Because he's got everything. They're so beautiful. So lovely. When to harvest wild garlic? That is a good question. My answer would be dig some up and see if it's ready. Usually when we grow garlic intentionally, by this time of the year, it has begun to kind of nod a little bit. You know, it'll get a bloom on it, or its flowers will begin to, you know, fall over a little sideways, that kind of stuff, and you'll know that it's kind of coming to the end of the season. Wild garlic, you don't necessarily know that. So go ahead and dig some up and see how it is. If it tastes good, if it's got some good qualities to the cloves under there, you're ready to go. And if not, let it go another month. But somewhere in there before it gets to be midsummer, they're going to be ready. No question. Ooh, that's pretty. Zucchini and a few tomatoes. That's lovely. Beautiful garden. Thank you for sharing those shots with us today. That's really fun. You know, one of the things that we talk about around here all the time is the stuff that really is a surprise. And I will tell you, when I saw the note that today was indeed scavenger hunt day, it never occurred to me that that was invented by somebody as a party game. But it's Elsa Maxwell. If you ever get into wanting to know about the grand dames of the early 20th century. She is a fascinating one, and she is the person who popularized scavenger hunts with the lists and the people running all over Paris and, you know, trying to find this or that or the other thing and running all over your town and stuff. I don't know if you can do that as well today. People don't take as handily to you coming up to them and asking them, do you have a blue crayon, you know, or
you
something.
Might get punched in the mouth, you know? Or something. Now, like, what?
You have no idea what, you know.
Think I just crazy. Don't know.
In a controlled environment, yes, certainly you could. I remember having a scavenger hunt once inside of a skating rink, so that was pretty controlled, and even that was a little crazy. But
you might find an old piece of pizza under something doing that.
They had hidden coupons for things all over the place, and if you wanted to eat, you had to go skate and find them. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know.
How would you rate your skating ability in your prime?
Oh, 5 out of 10. That's all. I'm not very good.
You're middle of the pack. Yeah.
I can get away from you if you're chasing me.
Yeah. Did you do the races?
No. Yeah,
those are always fun.
I'm bad at that.
I always wanted like the designer roller skates.
Well, sure.
I never had them. I always had the brown things with the orange wheels that were the stock. But
Hold on. We had the key and you attach them to your shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not kidding. Y'all think I'm making that up. I'm not.
Little piece. You just put them down in there and lock them down.
You change their size with the key and attach them to your shoe. Now, of course, then they opened up the skating rink and, well, my goodness, everybody had, you know.
The designer ones. The wheels were a big deal. Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many things that are human beings really don't like to do the same thing for too long. We really like to invent another way, another thing, another game, like scavenger hunts, for heaven's sakes. Who decided on that? Today is also wig out day. And I don't think it has anything to do with what you wear on your head. I think it has to do with expressing yourself in a slightly wigged out manner. It's not too hard for me. It's kind of a daily occurrence. But, you know, a lot of people have to actually make themselves wig out a little bit.
I found a Puck lithograph in a Baltimore art store, kind of, you know, it was just one of those places you go in and everything's in a slip. And they're all 1800s, 1900s.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it because it had the pastor in his full regalia, big top hat, you know, a nice watch and everything, standing out in the street sweating. And then the guy that owns the type of business, which was like a library or bookstore, they're standing out there in consternation, upset because the skating rink is taking all their customers. And
yeah,
it was
I bet
the,
that did
and
happen.
It was when
yeah.
the skating rink. So I loved it because it was
that
frame
happen.
And time where that was the new
yeah,
thing. And everybody's you know, like, oh, my God, my
gotta
customer.
Go see about this. Yeah. Yes. Well, how are they going to do that? Well, and of course, you know, what came along very shortly after that were things like blue laws, where you couldn't, because of the power of the religious religious entities, yeah. I will call them, because there was more than one type, you couldn't have anything else going on. There was a point, even before my time, when you could go to a breakfast place, but it would close down as soon as the service across the street was starting. You know, there were all kind of things that were really manipulated that way. And Americans pretty soon said, I'll make that decision.
And then we had prohibition after that. And then
other people said, I'll make that decision.
But I love the old Puck lithographs like that. Because
there's some great stuff.
They're really cool. It's a great go back in time look and see things that today we would take totally for granted. And it wouldn't make any sense why. But because things change. I mean, it's like you're saying, people don't like to do the same thing regularly. Mm-hmm. Plants adapt. I've noticed.
They have to.
Given the type of conditions out there, it depends on what it's going to be like, what you're going to get. I mean, those irises struggled with them for 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden this year, I don't really know why they decided to change their mind, but I had 10, 12 beautiful irises.
My daylilies are doing that. This morning we were walking in the back and noticed that there was the yellow daylily that usually has 2 flowers on it has like 20 this year. Didn't do anything to it.
Thanks for changing your mind. I appreciate it.
It's just a nice day. Nice day for a daylily. You know, that's about it. That's nice. Ken's Thanksgiving cactuses are growing. That looks good. We finally got those squared away. He was rooting those for quite a while. Beautiful hydrangeas. Just beautiful hydrangeas. Really lovely, lovely. Y'all got so much stuff going on.
I know it. Don't do
pretty things. It's so much
fun. Wearing out the mouse today.
Such
I might
a
have
treat.
To put in
know?
Some new batteries in this thing come Tuesday.
Such a treat. Did you know that that anybody would be curious about how hibiscus flowers lost their bullseyes? You know, they used to have that basically a landing strip for the pollinators. It's dark red and then a lighter color and then a lighter color and then you're on the inside. Well, University of Cambridge is letting us know that repeated genetic changes have actually led to the loss of those striking bullseyes but have not affected pollination. So I have to say that the hibiscus changed their minds as if they had them, but they changed their minds. They grew like they wanted to, like they thought was going to work for them. And it turned out that they didn't have to. They found that bumblebees clearly prefer flowers with big, dark bullseyes that act as visual guides, but that there are other shifting pollinators that do not need that. And this is proof of their of the shift in pollinators because the plants are not the same as they were 100 years ago in terms of their propensity to make that bullseye. And we do see that. The retibida that I grow, it's a Mexican hat, so it has a big nose on it. And what I've noticed is that the plant that has entirely yellow flowers has just as strong a nose of it. You wouldn't think it did because that's not as desirable a plant. But in this setting, it has decided to be. So I have both the ones that have the little fringe on it, and I also have the plain ones, and they're both equally strong. I don't know. They're going to duke it out, I guess. I don't know what they're going to do. This whole chili business, I'm going to talk about this next week. I'm going to bring some more together about this chili business because between the pepperoncinis, the less heat chilies that will help with pain control, and the greater heat chilies that will help with appetite control, this is some fascinating stuff. I'm going to have to do a little bit more reading into all of this and bring it to you because I like it. We've also got information today about the origin and fate of plants that do not bloom. Yeah, that's right. There's a few. And oh yeah, those axolotls. Axolotls? We'll talk about them when we come back.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are
at Watkins.
I never wanted to learn to play accordion until recently.
Yeah, I've always wanted to know it.
Well,
it looks so complicated.
I had the opportunity to hold one or time or two when I was a child, and it scared me to death.
Yeah, so they look scary. And you know, there's some kissing going on.
I mean, there's some
dancing. Danse.
Busy. Yeah. Those are the places where you nail your shoes to the ceiling when you leave. I'm not kidding you. I'm serious.
My favorite type places. That's right.
Lots of fun. But we'll talk about Judy Tenuta another time. But accordion players, Weird Al. I mean, you know. It's an instrument that has a very eclectic following, to put it mildly. And for those of us who are even scared by a concertina, the accordion is very intimidating. I do what? It's like, so you're going to play these bagpipes. I'm going to do what?
I mean, can you imagine bagpipes and an accordion working together in harmony? And
Oh. My friend Jason is in Scotland. Don't talk to him. He'll come back and do that.
I'm in. With the blending of cultures. And
well, it's our friends from the Great Mississippi Tea Company. They're over there once again.
Claire and her lovely husband.
Taking awards and this and that.
Claire and the husband are going to have to, David, they're going to have to find us, that place where you nail the shoes to the ceiling.
That's the one. That's the one. It's been a while, but I can probably find that road.
You know where it is? Okay.
Probably can. Gloria and Clinton has beautiful lilies. They're so pretty. The Asiatic lilies have been lovely this spring, this season. And I'm so happy to see them all doing so well. I do think they are one of the things that in a well-drained soil does better if there's plenty of water. My tiger lilies are about to bloom that are in a container, but they've gotten taller this year than they ever did before. They're a tall lily anyway, but this one is just huge. The gloriosas, which is the only true vining lily, they've just been beautiful. I don't have that particular plant, but several people do, and they've sent me pictures. They're just gorgeous. So happy to see them. Really, really love that. From Kobe University, by the way, my friends, plants that reproduce exclusively by self-pollination, that is correct. There are some. You know, people will say, well, that plant never bloomed. Usually it does, but there are a few that don't. And it turns out that they come from populations with very little difference in their species. They're very low in their diversity so that they don't actually need to cross-pollinate in order to maintain their stock. You know, plants will tend to pollinate with other plants, even if it's the same plant, just to keep their genetic stock strong. But the idea is that one of Darwin's posits was that plants that don't have the ability to bloom and therefore make seed and therefore propagate that way are on the road to extinction. And in some cases they are, but what we have found is that there are two species that arise from insect-pollinated species, and they just lose the need to do that because they're so similar. And I think that's really very, very interesting, pretty interesting stuff, things that we don't, even if the pollen gets transported, it doesn't matter because the plants are so close to the same. That, to me, why that is just fascinating to me. I'm fascinated. Oh, that's so pretty. That is beautiful. The Fondren Bottle Tour will be June 14th. You can go to Fondren Bottle Tree online and get some tickets for that already. There's plenty of information out there. And I got to tell you, if I was going to make a cover of a magazine today, this would be the one. Paula and Tom and Brandon have put a tree stump to its perfect use. They have put a container on top of it that is absolutely a mountain, an absolute mountain of petunias. It is beautiful. So, so gorgeous. So, so gorgeous. That's really pretty. I do love. But I love this particular work. Really pretty flowers. Really, really pretty things. I want to guess, but I'm not gonna guess it that I know who this is. Hello, Sandy. but that particular begonia is one of my favorites. I like the angel wing types, but I like the ones that have a little bit stronger leaf that don't droop quite so much, and that's one of these with the big flurry of flowers is just really, really pretty. That is lovely. Just gorgeous. Janice in New Albany has got the mystery plants. They look like sunflowers. Is that a possibility that there were sunflowers there? But I really don't know. So many leafy green things, but it really does look like sunflower seedlings that have come up in places that I have had sunflowers in the feeder for the birds or, you know, other situations. But I don't know. Let at least one grow so we can see what it is. There might be something there that we like, as it turns out. So much to do this week. Oh, my goodness. There are blackberries coming along. They're trying really hard. Do you know that those are not actually berries? They're drupelets. But if you say, if you try to say drupelet instead of berry, you're not going to ever get anywhere with anybody. Now, of course, a droop is a type of berry, and that's it's all horticulture, or that's actually botany. But I'm going to just keep it at blackberry. But dewberries are really my favorite, and they are much harder to cultivate. That's why we don't see them in as many garden centers, for example, or as many university breeding programs, because the dewberries tend to be earlier, and they tend to be a lower-growing plant, and they tend to have a few other things that will come along and eat them when they're babies. The blackberries, of course, the wild ones, have a small fruit, but they have been bred into thumb-sized, thornless, magnificent, and still just beautifully sweet fruits. Really neat things.
Birds love them.
That's true. Man. They do.
You can tell when their blueberry bushes are ready.
We have a slight rapprochement. One of mine is tall enough that they can have the top of it. I can't reach it. And they're pretty mean early in the morning. They don't like when I go out to pick the, but they will get along with it because they get the ones that are in the top of the tree. It is a blueberry tree now because it is 10
it is
feet tall.
10 feet tall. So. Yeah, you can't get up there to those. You got to let the wildlife have them. Squirrels eat them too, don't they?
No.
No, they don't.
The squirrels are more interested in my tomatoes.
I got you. And they're smart. Do they eat bacon too, you think?
They might. I don't know.
Never know what they're doing.
Make toast. I'll be there.
Just hang out with them.
You know, I'm just not sure they do that. I have something to leave you with today that's probably going to make you very nervous, and I hope it will. Massachusetts Institute of Technology, our MIT folks, researchers are now attempting to extend the shelf life of vegetables by injecting them with melatonin. Now, as if that wasn't odd enough, how is that going to help? Apparently it helps that they use microneedles that are biodegradable to do this. I'm sorry, this makes me very uncomfortable. I'm sure there are a lot of other things that would if I knew about them. The researchers believe that their system could offer an alternative or a complement to refrigeration. And, of course, there are many places in the world where there are not refrigerators or the capacity to have them, and therefore you have to do something else to keep your produce. But central to their approach are these patches of silk microneedles. They get through the tough, waxy skin of the plants without causing the plants to have a stress response, which is usually what happens when plants are injured. They go into stress, and that changes either the way they taste or the way they grow, or in some cases, the way the cutting calluses over. So just think about that. They deliver precise amounts of melatonin into the plant's inner tissues. Do you want that? Talk to me. Send me an email, mamaonair@yahoo.com. I'm fascinated and horrified all at the same time. Thank you so much for being with us today. Y'all are the best audience in the entire world. Thank you, Lance. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Propane gas is used in many commercial establishments, such as hotels, motels, restaurants, hospitals, and is used much in the same way as it is in residential. It is used for heating, cooking, lighting, and industrial applications, such as forklifts and construction. Propane, energy for everyone. Visit mspropane.com to learn more. That's mspropane.com.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.